Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Jim Rondon and Gary Gallagher here from REMAX. I, of course, am down in Punta Gorda, Florida, and Mr. Gallagher is up there in the Twin Ports. Gary, I know that we've got a busy, busy show. We've got a guest. We've got Ryan Bayless coming on in the second segment of our show, so we're busy, busy, busy. But I just want to tell you, we're recording this one day after the Vikings lost to Philadelphia. 0-2, it's not looking good. What are your quick thoughts?
There's a quarterback available in the draft named Caleb Williams, and you got to believe that we want to get him.
I don't think
he's going to go number one or number two. So
I don't think Cousins.
That's my opinion.
Problem.
Is this season's going to get very easy to go down the tubes quickly? And
well, we had 3 turnovers the first game. We had 4 turnovers yesterday. And Cousins has had pretty good stats, and I thought the defense has played pretty good until they're wore out. But anyway, I don't know. This might not be the year again for the Queens. But yeah, anyway,
we'll wait and see. I mean, none of these starters play in preseason, and now they're all getting the rust shook out. So hopefully we turn it around. But I just it's tough to watch right now.
Well, we've got elections coming up in Duluth, and I understand that there's a lot of interesting comments on these elections about housing, isn't there?
Jim, housing has taken center stage locally here when it comes to the political arena. And we have a big mayoral race going on. There was the first mayoral debate this past week, and housing is certainly center stage. The city council is going to it's going to have a massive turnover. Housing is probably their top priority and the top debate. And some of the issues, I think, that they're dealing with, you know, they talk about housing and need to help homeless and help underprivileged people and that type of stuff. And I think that those are all worthy, you know, subjects and things to talk about, you know. But one of the things I didn't hear from the city council candidates is – the need to help our employers secure housing for workers.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we've had Roger Reinert on the show, and we talked about, and one of the things that he says that, you know, and one of the things that you hear is it's not the city's house to be, the city's job to be involved in housing. But it is the city's job to maybe provide some of the infrastructure. And I think that that's critical, and that's a very important thing. But I also think that these employers, and we're trying to attract employers, we have current employers that are trying to grow and expand and draw talent to the area. These folks need housing, the bottom line, and to provide that housing for these, you know, well-paying living wage jobs, I think should be at the forefront of what our city is trying to do, be it at the mayoral level, be it at the city council level. And you know, we can try to address homelessness and underprivileged people, you know, as we move down the path, but we got to get houses for people that are trying to attract employees for the job, for the employers that we have and employers that we're trying to attract. I think that that should be number one on people's list, not hearing it like I would like to hear it. And so that particular issue. But then the other thing, Jim, that I think is really interesting is what some of the candidates are talking about, what you're hearing. And nationally, I think this is a trend nationally, is downtown office space is dead.
Yeah.
It's just dead. I mean, we don't have any – the people don't want it. The people that are looking to get commercial properties, they want high density, they want high traffic, they want high visibility, they want those things. They're not interested in downtown. And you take some of the social issues that are downtown with commercial entities, they don't want to deal with that stuff. So what can we do? What can we do with some of the downtown?
Well, and I would say to you also, you know, you've got somebody that's coming in to work as a mechanic for Cirrus. I'm just pulling something out of the air here, right? And a lot of people are saying, well, you know, the urban housing is really going to be very popular. You know what? I don't think that, to be honest, the guy that's going to come working, a guy or gal is going to go working for Cirrus, you know, building airplanes, wants to live downtown Duluth. I don't think they're moving to the area to enjoy the city life. I think they're moving to the area to, you know, enjoy all the beauty and the room that it has to offer. So I don't think that the downtown office space, converting it to all these rentals is really going to take off as much as maybe, you know, the mayor of Duluth or somebody else might want to envision.
Well, I think you look at some of the issues. I think when you go back into the 90s and as we started to allow development of residential units in some of these office buildings downtown, I think some of it really took off. And you look at some of the condominiums that are down in Canal Park, in on Superior Street.
Canal Park's a different animal, though, I think.
Well, they've done an incredible job with some of these units down there. And so what they ultimately decide, if they decide that that is an option and who are the tenancies going to be, yes, I agree with you. I don't think that these downtown living units are going to be for, you know, a family of three or four people. And, you know, you're going to, but I do think that there's a need and I think that there's a demand for this. And talk about a downtown neighborhood, Jim. Can you create a downtown neighborhood?
Well, you know,
is it a viable issue, you know,
where you have a thriving
downtown community of people that exist down there? I think it's a reality. I think it can happen.
Well,
I think we've got to deal with it and change
what you were talking about
that would allow that to happen.
But what you're talking about with Canal Park development for housing, you're talking about Superior Street development for housing, you know, the things that they have in common are the view. You know, they were up high, they all had a view of the lake, you know, all this kind of stuff. You're not going to be able to take an abandoned building on, you know, or an empty building on 2nd or 3rd Street that really doesn't have the view and just, like, whip it around into housing and expect to, you know, to make the same kind of money. There's no way. But, you know, I think that, you know, if you build it, they will come is kind of what they did in Florida. And, you know, they punched in all of these roads, all of the infrastructure that goes along with it on the hopes that, you know, it's shovel ready to be developed and it's worked. We're not running out of land when we're getting swamped. And I think that what you were talking about earlier with the city and they want to draw a line, that's not our job. I think it is their job. I think the county and the city should get together and they should come up with a master development plan in order to create new neighborhoods and help, you know, the builders, and then maybe you can get a massive builder into Duluth like there's never been before. I mean, there are large tract builders in the Twin Cities. They would come to Duluth. It's just that they're not going to come there and reinvent the wheel just for the sake of, you know, doing it in Duluth, Minnesota. So,
I think you're right, but I think that this comes down to infrastructure,
right?
And a builder can't come into this local community where new construction housing costs are much higher than other places across the state.
Right.
They just can't, they can't make any money. We need the infrastructure so they can come in and just build houses. And
you, if the city the can come in the sewer, and do the that, water,
I think that's a big incentive.
It's got to be a shovel ready. You got to give them a shovel ready development pretty much. I mean, there can be assessments going back to the ultimate homeowners when that occurs. You know, but those are assessments that you can't change the price. You can't adjust them for inflation. You know, I mean, because you're just, it's not going to work. You know,
I would hope that the city would eat the cost of the assessments. Because it just incentivizes builders. It incentivizes homeownership. And it's like, it's something the city can do as a perk to build this gap that we have with workforce living wage housing that we just don't have, that we need.
Right. And talking about it doesn't solve the problem, you know. So, I mean, that's it's an interesting subject. It's not only a problem, obviously, in Duluth and Superior and in the entire area. It's a problem in many other areas, you know, where there is life, you know, where there's growth going on. But, man, they got to get in front of it and handle it. So hopefully the elections will bring some new leaders in that are going to take a fresh look at things and where do we go forward from here. All right, Mr. Gallagher, we're coming up on our first break here, so why don't you give out your phone number?
I'm at 218-390-0615. I'm licensed in both Minnesota and Wisconsin.
And down here in Punta Gorda, Florida, you can reach me at 218-348-7653. Now, stay tuned. Our next guest, Mr. Ryan Bayless, is going to come on in and give us some talk about what's going on in the commercial real estate world and his take on it. So hang in there and we'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Jim Ronning, Gary Gallagher here. And as promised, we have special guest, Mr. Ryan Bayless with us, who is also with RE/MAX Results up in the Twin Ports. But Ryan, you do a lot of commercial real estate, don't you, sir?
Yes, I do. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm our commercial specialist with RE/MAX Results here in the Northland, and I'm excited to be on the show.
Perfect.
Ryan, give us a little idea of when you got into real estate, why you got into real estate, and you know where you've come from and how you graduated from when you got into where you are right now as the local commercial specialist for RE/MAX Results in the Twin Ports.
Certainly. So I got into RE/MAX and into real estate back in 2017, January of 2017. I got my license and started actually working for Jim on the Twin Ports team, and started off as residential pretty much only. And but working with Jim, he did a fair amount of commercial work, so kind of learned working alongside him. Trial by fire sort of thing, working alongside Jim and just learning the business on that side and seeing how things worked. And as a result, when Jim went down to Florida and I kind of took over the team operations up here while he was down there, I ended up taking on a lot of that commercial work. And so once I finally went out on my own and started to run the team by myself, I saw an opportunity here locally that RE/MAX had a lot of commercial prospects coming in and people who were interested in buying and selling commercial real estate. But we were referring a lot of those out the door to other firms. And I saw an opportunity. It's something I enjoyed. It's something I knew. So I bit the bullet and decided to go headlong into it about 2-3 years ago. And now that's the primary focus of my business.
The rest is history, as they say, Ryan. I got it.
Yes.
So let's talk about that a little bit. So what was during your commercial journeys, what kind of scenarios have you come up against? Give us some interesting sales that you've had in the last few years.
Well, I mean, the thing about commercial real estate is none of it is the same, and that's part of why I enjoy it. Every transaction is really, I mean, unique in every sense of the word, and there's just so much going on. I mean, in residential, you'd encounter, obviously, unique situations and difficult situations, but with almost every commercial transaction, I run into some unique thing that I've never seen before, or we have to do some research and really dig in. For example, I mean, we were working on this office building up in Virginia this last year. It was the historic National Bank building. And just all the different facets and all the moving parts of, you know, selling this building. I was the listing agent and worked with another agent who represented the buyer. And this buyer, this is public now, but he planned to turn this into a residential building. And this was, I mean, Class C office space at the time that was renting individual offices out. So just tackling all the different, I mean, I was working very closely in hand with the buyer's agent in this, obviously, to bring this thing to closing and meeting all of the lender's requirements for his due diligence period, and what is this going to take to transform this building that's 100 years old, a concrete building. I mean, this is all concrete, floors, walls, everything. It's 5 stories, and turning that into a residence and doing that due diligence period, that was a really interesting scenario. Working with triple net clients and working with multinational firms. So I've represented buyers who, you know, they're going to buy a building that's owned by some multinational firm that wants to sell the building, but with a lease back to themselves, a lease to themselves for 15 years with a 15-year renewal, and tackling that process and going up against, you know, these attorneys or whoever in their legal department who drafts these leases and representing your clients effectively. It's taken a lot of, it always is something new, and it's always a lot of research and presents interesting scenarios.
Ryan, one of the things about commercial that is a little, obviously quite a bit different than residential is, and you just mentioned this, is the what we call the due diligence or the due diligence period. And sometimes these can be very lengthy timeframes.
Yes.
And what you just talked about with the conversion of use of a Class C office building into a residential use, what kind of a due diligence timeline did you have? And then also within that time period, is there things that have to go on with like city councils or city administration in terms of like changing the use of the building and maybe it has to be rezoned or something like that? Talk a little bit about that.
What due diligence time we had on the contract versus what it actually was were two very different things. Because we have expectations and we hope that, you know, the municipal governments can get moving sometimes, and sometimes they can't. And they can't work as fast as, you know, me and the buyer's agent, buyer and seller and lender hope that they can. So, yeah, that was actually one of the major hurdles that we ran into with that one was, you know, we had to tackle, the zoning use, and we had to commission, for example, a study with a firm out of Faribault, Minnesota, that would look at the conversion, the local economic impact of changing this zoning on this building from high density commercial to a mixed use with a residential option. We had to go before the city council to discuss variance on their parking ordinances in Virginia for a building like this. Because in downtown Virginia, it's all metered parking, for example. So we had to discuss at length with the city council about how we were going to go about this, how we were going to park all these potential new residents. And just working through these kind of things, and a lot of this means that we have to wait for a city council meeting, which occurs once a month from the first Tuesday or the second Tuesday or whatever. You're kind of tied because they're not going to call an emergency meeting. So now there's an extra month on your due diligence period, and that pushes out your closing date. And then the bank's board of directors sometimes has to meet because sometimes they can't directly underwrite these properties. They need approval from a board that meets once a month. So sometimes these get drawn out because you're waiting on approvals or meetings that you just can't speed up. And sometimes it can draw out to several months, whereas, you know, we would like to be closing sooner, but we really don't have the option.
Ryan, I would tell you that that type of a sale, when you're changing the use of it and when you need so many levels of participation and permission, you're going to run into a lot of delays. I've had a couple projects where we've had to go to more than one city council meeting, or it was a city council meeting after a planning meeting. You're always at their time frame. And it's funny that everybody seems to fall in line. Nobody argues with the fact that we have to go, you know, before the city council and this won't get done any sooner, you know. They all understand the speed of government. That's what I thought was always interesting. Well, you know, they want to, you
well,
know,
in, where's in this our... case, yeah. I will tell you, I mean, the buyer wasn't happy that we had to wait with interest rates fluctuating as much as they were. He wanted to get this thing done and signed, sealed, delivered. So he was locked in, and then he had a lock in his interest rate for a while, but we were coming up against that. So, yeah, for the most part, everyone's agreeable, but sometimes you come up against those walls and... it gets a little dicey.
And you know, it's the land of commercial real estate's a lot different. It's but it's also very interesting, like you're saying about, you know, it's kind of a new, it's a new discovery. It's a the work is different. The things that you have to do to bring things together, I mean, you got to really think outside the box a lot of times, you know, especially on the marketing. You know, like when you look at this big building, you go, okay, what am I going to do with this? Who's going to buy this? You know, envisioning that buyer, it's a challenge. So it's a fun one though. I'm still dealing in real estate down here in mobile home parks all the time, and that due diligence period, it can be set at 60 days. It's just a marker for the most part. I mean, as long as the parties are willing to work together with each other, that marker gets moved a little bit. So, well, congrats. So, what city was this in again?
This was in Virginia, that one in particular. And again, there's new challenges right there working with a different city, and every city has their own requirements for everything. So
Right.
it's digging in, learning those requirements, and
Did you have, yeah.
everyone together, it's a little bit of growing pain sometimes with these things.
Did you have any objections from the public on this particular one?
Not in particular on this
Okay.
one.
Well, that's
There,
good.
there's been some shakeup up in Virginia with their housing, and there was actually recently a lot of housing that was torn down. And I think a lot of the public saw the need for housing. And in general, to have the building cleaned up from what it was, I mean, the current owners took care of the building, but it could have, it really needed some improvements that, think would spruce up the neighborhood, especially a building that's that prolific in the neighborhood where you've got five stories and it kind of it's one of the biggest buildings in town. To have a full reno done on it is it's really going to look great. And so yeah, we didn't have much pushback from either the community or the business community up there. Do you
Well,
follow projects like that, Ryan? Like, what's the current status of that? Are they under construction? Are they done with construction? And is renting
I
this?
had actually a call last week with the former owner who still is renting a spot up there, and I've had a few conversations with the buyer, and right now they're in the process of they've commissioned architects and things, and they've had to make some changes to the plans that they had laid out with the architects before closing. So they're still, I know things aren't going as quickly as they hoped. But they have rented out the retail spaces I know on the bottom floor, which has brought some new businesses and some new life, I think, to downtown Virginia. That's really been pretty exciting for them to get some new retail down there. But they haven't, I don't think, at least as of now, I don't think they've broken ground, so to say, on the residential conversion yet.
When did you close on that building?
In May.
Of this year.
Yep.
Okay. One of the other things, Ryan, that you deal with in commercial that we don't deal with in residential is what we call the phase one and phase two environmental inspections. Can you talk a little bit
Yes.
about those processes when, if you go out to list a commercial building and those haven't been done, what kind of conversations do you have to with the owner of those types of buildings about those types of inspections?
Absolutely. Well, for example, I just had a dry cleaner that we closed on about a month ago, former dry cleaner. And the so I have the conversation up front. This buyer in particular, and most buyers who own a property that may be subject to a phase one, and just for the listeners' sake, phase one environmentals are phase one and phase two. It's essentially an investigation as into whether or not soil or the groundwater around a property could potentially be contaminated based on, was it a dry cleaner that had heavy chemicals or a gas station that had in-ground tanks? And what remediation would have to be done to, continue using this property in a safe manner? And most people that I've encountered, and most sellers at least that have a property that might be subject to this, are well aware of it. Where I really need to coach people is when we've got buyers who, for example, want to buy a former gas station. So there's one for sale right now that I've worked with a buyer on, and the multinational corporation that owns the gas station, the property, is well aware of the fact that there's potentially phase one, phase two issues, and they've conducted the phase one and phase two, but they haven't conducted the remediation. And my buyer, I advised him not to move forward until they've conducted it or they agree to conduct it, because if this company goes bankrupt, it could fall on him. And these could be $500,000 might be a minimum with a gas station like this, with old tanks in the ground, to remediate all the chemicals, the gasoline that might be in that ground. And he may have to take that on if for whatever reason this company went bankrupt and wouldn't take care of it.
Well, and the other thing,
Jim, I don't know how we're doing on time, but
we got about another minute. I just want to comment on this. You know, yeah, if your buyer buys that property before that remediation is done and signed off on, it doesn't matter if that company goes bankrupt. You are signing on for the liability. You know, so.
Actually, I will correct you there, Jim. Oh. In Wisconsin, I'm not sure in Minnesota, but in Wisconsin, it still falls on the people who polluted it. Just like with U.S. Steel and the Morgan Park project, you maintain that liability. The problem is, though, if they go bankrupt, then my guy assumes it. So,
if they don't perform,
we can't risk that.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Or if they don't perform, you know, like you're saying, oh yeah, I'll take care of that, and then they never do.
Yeah. Exactly.
Ultimately, they can come back to the new owner as well, because they're just not gonna. Once the genie's out of the bottle, it's not going back in. You know, so correct. If they know there's contaminants there, they're going to have to be clean, and they're never going to go away from that site. All right, guys, listen, we're at our break here, but before we go, Ryan, why don't you give us your phone number so people can contact you?
Absolutely. You can either check me out at twinportscommercial.com or give me a call or text at 218-341-5833. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, we're not done yet, but you're going to hang on for one more segment. Gary, why don't you give out your phone number, too?
Folks, I can be reached in the Twin Ports at 218-390-0615. I'm licensed primarily as residential in both Minnesota and Wisconsin.
And I'm down here in Punta Gorda, Florida. Number here is still a Minnesota number, 218-348-7653. And thanks for tuning into the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Hang in there. We're going to be back in for our next segment. Hey, welcome back to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Jim Ronding and Gary Callagher here from RE/MAX, and our special guest, Mr. Ryan Bayless, also from RE/MAX. All right, let's get back into it. Ryan, interest rates have been a sore subject for a lot of residential purchasers these days. What do they look like for commercial loans?
Well, they've been a sore subject for commercial as well.
Yeah.
And obviously, it depends on a lot of factors. It depends on the type of loan that you're taking out, how much you're putting down, and what your credit looks like. So typically I tell people to expect somewhere around 7 to 7.5%, but obviously depending on factors, it could be higher than that. That's kind of the baseline I tell people to prepare for. And obviously that's substantially higher than it was a few years ago. So people are feeling the squeeze on that front as well in the commercial world.
Yeah, I will say,
things that we talk about, sorry, Jim, is, and Jim and I have talked about this a lot recently when it comes to commercial buyers, is the reset of the short-term commercial loans. And you go back 5 years when these commercial developments and those types of things the lenders that lend money, and somebody got a loan at 3.5-4.5% as a commercial loan, they amortize them out for a good comfortable payment, but they reset them like every 5 years. Are you experiencing any issues with some of these types of situations going on in the commercial marketplace right now?
You know, personally, I haven't seen them come up yet. I know that everyone's talking about it, those 3-5 year arms that are coming up and are coming up to an adjustment. But I haven't seen anything, at least on my front, that indicates that there's much change yet. But I mean, everyone is talking about it, so I suppose it's we're due for it.
Well, I can tell you guys this. There was a huge commercial, I don't know what you call it, symposium, convention, whatever you want to call it, in Atlanta. I've got people that I know that are at it. And a lot of us, I mean, I didn't realize, I thought about these resets as well. Apparently, starting in October, it's like a tsunami of resets in the commercial world that are coming, starting to roll over. and the number of resets that are going to start happening in October, it's going to go higher and higher. It's something that they're all very concerned about. And one of the development segments that's going to be hit pretty hard, because now they're starting to say that maybe they overbuilt, is apartment dwelling owners. So if you own apartment buildings, a lot of those loans are resetting, and they're going to be going up, 3, 4, 5% in some cases. And that's going to put a hardship on a lot of the owners that were tight in the first place. They say it's going to be very interesting. So we'll have to watch that for sure. But
absolutely. And then the question is, what happens to these assets? And we might not see it right away. They might try to weather the storm, increase rents, and try to, hold off on selling anything and see if the market can bear higher rents. It'll be an interesting thing to see over the next, I'd say, 9 months to see what happens.
Well, and I think that, too, when you look back at these new constructions that were occurring, it's longer than 5 years ago, but let's just start with 5 years ago, where you had apartment buildings going up all over the place, including the Twin Ports. But you saw it, especially in Twin Cities and down here, it's insane how many buildings they're building. And they were buying and building these properties when the construction costs had started to soar, the interest rates were low, and the rents were very, very, very high. And I'm just, the worry is that the debt-to-equity ratio here is concerning, because if that interest rate jump, of 3 or 4%, let's say, when that hits that owner of that building, all of a sudden that cash flow is depleted, and they can't raise the rents because the rents are already so high that a lot of people just can't even afford them. So that's the kind of thing that they say is going to be coming down with the apartment building owners. So very interesting stuff.
Ryan, commercial, obviously you're a commercial specialist, REMAX Results locally here in the Twin Ports. Give us a commercial market update. What's going on in the marketplace? We're dealing with quite a significant downturn in the residential market. Although there's still a lot of strength in that residential market, the unit sales are down 25 to 30%. When properties come on the market, there's still multiple offers on them. But what's going on in that commercial market? Are you seeing downturns or activity? What's going on?
Certainly. I'm seeing a steady market, but not, I wouldn't say anything strong is happening right now, and I wouldn't say it's exceptionally weak either. What's going on really is I have a lack of inventory, just like on the residential side, in a lot of ways. I have buyers who are looking for specific properties, for example. And maybe this is just a little bit of a situation that I'm dealing with personally, and maybe it's not translating to other brokers as much. But when I have a buyer for a specific property, it's tough to find what they need in particular. Especially right now, I have buyers that are looking for visible retail in the Hermantown-Miller Trunk corridor that has to check a lot of different boxes. And that seems to be the struggle right now. And in Duluth locally, there's a lot of commercial property available, but it just doesn't match what the buyers are looking for, if that makes sense. So, sure. For example, there's a lot of property, there's a lot of commercial units available in downtown, for example. But I can't think of a single buyer that wants to be in downtown Duluth at the moment or wants office space. So that category, it really isn't seeing a lot of growth. But prime retail up in the Hermantown corridor definitely is. And finding inventory that would work for my clients is exceptionally difficult at the moment. So that's what I'm running into.
One of the things you just mentioned there, why is there a reason? Do you get specific reasons why your clients don't want to look into downtown Duluth?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, and it's visibility is a big one, at least for my clients, because a lot of them aren't, I mean, office space has virtually dried up. I don't know anyone who's looking for dedicated floors of an office building, like, for example, in the Torrey or Allworth building or those kind of things. It just isn't as big of a thing anymore with the ability to remote work and just offices and corporations not working in that way anymore. And with downtown, visibility is a major issue, and it's kind of a chicken or the egg thing. I mean, when there was a million people walking through the skywalk every day, then properties were more visible. And so now with the skywalks being virtually dead, there's not many people that want to locate a business in the skywalk. And without businesses, it doesn't draw the people. So it's downtown Duluth is kind of a chicken or the egg thing. How do you get the people back? And without the people, the businesses aren't going to be there. And so I don't know what the solution is, but that's the main issue, at least for my clients, is visibility in downtown and accessibility. I mean, being able to park and approach a building easily, it's just not the same as Hermantown or other outlying parts.
Well, I think...
Go ahead,
Jim.
Okay, Ryan, I was going to say, one of the other things that was an interesting phenomenon when I was still back up there, when I was filling a couple of strip centers, some other commercial space, in Superior, I found national franchises really stood up and said, nah, we're not coming there. And I've been running into this for 30 years. I'll give you an example. Taco John's had, I think their building burnt down in Superior, and they didn't rebuild because they had the new one over in West Duluth. And I knew the owner, and I'm like, hey, I got this great spot for you, blah, blah, blah. He said, yeah, no, I'm just going to sit on it. I don't think I need to go to Superior anymore. And years later, a couple of years later, he calls me up and he goes, quick, find me a spot in Superior. And I go, well, what's the change? He goes, well, I own the franchise rights to Superior, but not forever, and apparently somebody else wants to buy them, so I have to exercise it. So that's the only reason that's the only reason they built the new Taco John's in Superior. And then there was other places like Caribou Coffee, Starbucks. I mean, I can go on and on and on.
I think that may be changing to some degree.
That's what I was going to ask.
At least in Superior, because we do have a business... much more business-friendly climate recently in Superior. Mm. For example, we're getting a Noodles and Company. We've got Caribou that came in the last five years. And I think that's changing, and I think retailers and the multinational firms are seeing that. But I don't think, like I said, it's for specific pockets of town, and I don't think downtown is right now on the radar of those firms.
Yeah. But there is, I'm just telling you that at least back in the day, there was a list. They would share data. They knew each other's territorial managers. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to steer away from Superior, you know. And it was so
And that's actually part of what I do for my clients. When I'm trying to fill like a strip center, I'm a member of the ICSC.
Yeah.
And this is a system that we use that I can literally see the overlays from regional managers from all of these different firms for what they require for population, demographics, parking, everything. And if I have a property that fits their needs, I can actually reverse prospect, call them up, say, send them all the info and say, this matches what you're looking for. Would you be interested in moving in?
Right. That's perfect. Yeah. All right, well, listen, Ryan, we've got to take a break here, so I just wanted to thank you for coming on. I'm sorry that we're rang by the bell here, but give out your phone number one more time before we got to let you go.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys. You can visit me at twinportscommercial.com or 218-341-5833.
All right, we hope you come back and spend some time with us. We'll call upon you here in the future. We really appreciate it. Great stuff here.
All right, thanks, folks. Thanks very much, Ryan. We'll be right back. Hang in there. We'll be back to finish it up. Hey, welcome back to the last segment of the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Jim Ronding, Gary Gallagher here. Folks, if you want to reach me down here in Florida, please give me a call, 218-348-7653. And Mr. Gallagher, how about some digits?
In the Twin Ports, I'm at 218-390-0615.
All right, pretty good stuff with Ryan, huh?
Well, listen, I think this, you know, he's got a lot of good information, and Ryan does a really good job. He's really thorough. He's young. He's hungry. He gets out there. He's been involved in our local association. And so he knows the nuts and bolts of how the real estate industry works. And to have a guy like him in a commercial specialist up here locally, big asset for the company. So we continue to hope that he does well, and we'll have him back on the show. But one of the things that he touched upon, Jim, and that you and I talked about earlier in the show here, is the downtown office space. You know, with all the talk about what's going on and, right. and the need for housing and that type of stuff locally here, I think that we're going to see a push for some of this vacant office space that people aren't renting for its intended use. I think we'll probably start to see some push for residential housing in the downtown Duluth area, and try to create, as we talked about earlier, a neighborhood downtown, residential neighborhood. I think it's on the cusp of becoming reality, and it'll be interesting to see what happens as we get into you know, whatever happens with the mayoral race, and then as the city council obviously is going to have a major league turnover, and how we can implement some of these potential new ideas for housing, because we all know that it's needed.
Well, and it's an interesting subject. When he was talking about the conversion, you know, we actually talked about one of those cases, you know, the conversion from commercial to mixed use. It's happening all over the country, and you and I have talked in the past about what are they going to do with all the malls, about all the strip shopping centers that aren't occupied anymore. And I think that overall the main idea there would probably be to raise those buildings and rebuild something else. But some of them, they're going to try to turn into, you know, mixed use housing with some commercial development in it. And it's shown in new construction, like apartment buildings, where they've got, you know, businesses underneath the apartment buildings, it works. You know, the convenience part of it. If you go down into downtown, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul, you know, you find your little pop-up grocery stores in and amongst all kinds of residential. So they've got to really plan it. But yeah, it's an interesting subject, isn't it, Kara?
Definitely. And how it moves forward, it will be very interesting to keep an eye on. But I think it's exciting. And right. I think, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what the future holds for housing downtown and how it all shakes out. Jim, I want to point out that coming up here, you know, next week we have a shortened show, but after that we're going to be limited in terms of like being on because of UMD sports, right. Twins, that type of stuff. So we'll get everybody updated on our show next week. But
that's about it. We got no more time. So, all right, folks, thanks for taking the time to listen to us today. We'll be back in the upcoming weeks, and thank you for listening to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show.